Israel's transition from a theocracy to a monarchy. All right, again, a theocracy is God is in charge. God is ruling and reigning. Now, many times in Joshua and Judges, it didn't look like that because Judges said every man did that which is right in his own eyes. But when the people came to Samuel, the prophet, and said, we want a king so we can be like the nations around the world, God told them, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me that I should not reign over them. God had been raising up prophets. He raised up judges in the book of Judges, 13 of them. He raised them up to meet the need of the people at the time. And the people were saying, no more of this. No more of God raising up judges when he wants them. We want a king that'll give us a monarchy, and his son will then take over. The king will turn it over to his prince, will turn it over to his prince, to turn it to him, and they wanted that system. So it is changing from a monarchy, from a theocracy then to a monarchy. The book of 2 Samuel, remember 1 Samuel, gave us the introduction of the monarchy with Saul, but 2 Samuel begins with, here's our first blank, the first acts of David. It begins with the first acts of David as king. The end of 1 Samuel, Saul dies. The beginning of 2 Samuel could be called, and I'm not recommending this, but it could be called the book of David. Because it's all about David's reign. He dies near, not in the end of 1 Samuel, but at the beginning of 1 Kings right after it. So this whole book is about David and his monarchy and his kingdom. It begins with the first acts of David as a king and concludes with the final acts of David as king. So these 24 chapters give us everything about the kingdom of David. Now, doesn't that phrase kingdom of David sound important? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come down and establish that kingdom once again. It's called in the Gospel of Matthew the kingdom of heaven, but it is the kingdom that was promised to David that there would be no end of it. And so 2 Samuel is telling us about that kingdom. It covers, 2 Samuel does, a period of 40 years. All right, again, we've looked in each of the books of the Bible at how, what kind of, especially these Old Testament books, of what period of time. And 2 Samuel, it's very clear, covers 40 years. We know that. I'll get ahead of it. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, then came all the tribes of Israel to David to Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Notice our first line here. Chapters 1 to 4 cover 7 years of David ruling in Hebron over the tribe of Judah. 7 years. After Saul died, only the tribe of Judah quickly anointed David as king. That was David's own tribe. David was of the tribe of Judah. His own people made him king. The other 11 tribes of Israel were a little more hesitant. They didn't jump on board right away. But what we're reading about in 2 Samuel is after the first 4 chapters, in the 5th chapter, now chapters 5 to 24 cover 33 years of David ruling in Jerusalem over all Israel. So David reigned 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem over all Israel. And that's what 2 Samuel tells us about. Notice in verse number 4 that we are reading 2 Samuel 5, verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. How old was David when he died? All right, 70. It's a trick question, right? New math, 30 plus 40. All right, he was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 40 years. So when you get to 1 Kings chapter 1 and David dies, it doesn't tell you. It says he was full of years and of old age. 70. that's not very old. Even in, I know, you know, back in chapter 5 of Genesis, I was again reading there just a few days ago, and they all lived to be 907 years, something years old. Even Adam over 900. Lamech was 777. He was the youngster. He died really young, 777. There was a reason for him dying at that age, but that was pretty young. All right, David, even Abraham into his 100, most of these guys are 100. David was 70 years old when he died. It says in verse 5, in Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. So we've rounded it off to 7 years. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So verse 4 said he reigned 40 years. So the book of 2 Samuel is all about the reign of David. In 1 Samuel, David shows up, chapter 16. But he's just the musician that plays in King Saul's parlor when the evil spirit comes on him. He fights Goliath in chapter 17. We know those stories. But he doesn't become king until 2 Samuel. So 2 Samuel is all about the kingdom of David. 1 Samuel covered David's life from his youth to age 30. Look at 1 Samuel 16:13, and the only reason that's so important is this is really the first time David shows up. And we're almost halfway through the book of 1 Samuel before we even read about David in 1 Samuel. Now, he is mentioned twice in the book of Ruth before this because we read about Boaz and Ruth, and from that line came David. But as far as introduced to him in real life, so to speak, it's when Samuel is watching the sons of Jesse walk before him and saying, all right, which one, Lord, do you want to be king? And of course, he goes with the eldest and thinks, well, look at him. He's tall, he's big, he's muscular, he'll be the one. And God waits till they get down to the youngest of them, the ruddy one. Notice verse 12 of chapter 16. And he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy. This is talking about David. We haven't been given his name yet. He was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the first time that his name David is introduced to us, again, other than Ruth, when talking about the line. But here we're introduced to David, and the story begins. And all it says here is Samuel took the horn and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. He was ruddy, of a beautiful countenance, good to look to. He was but a youth. Now, how old was David in 1 Samuel chapter 16? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us. All right? One source I looked at, he's between 10 and 15 years of age. Another source that is very trustworthy, that I usually find trustworthy, said he was 16 when Samuel anointed him. Another one said he was 22. So we don't know how old David was, but it was some point in that point in his life when he got anointed. Now, he did not become king till he was 30. So that gives how many years? If he's 16, it gives 14 years under Saul until he actually became the king over Israel. So 1 Samuel covered David's life from his youth, whatever that age is, to age 30. 2 Samuel covers his life from age 30 to age 70. So we've got the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel broken up in those two things and covering those parts of his life. We don't have a lot of time in 2 Samuel to go through all the stories because there's so many, but I tried to abbreviate it here. Names that are prominent in 1 Samuel, and if we can, just think about these names for just a moment. And next time you're reading, oh, that should say 2 Samuel. Names that are prominent in 2 Samuel. That's my secretary's fault. Let me yell at him. Hey, what'd you do that for? Okay. Names that are prominent in 2 Samuel. Saul and Solomon. We read about the death of Saul in chapter 1, and we read about the birth of Solomon in chapter 12 or 13. And so these are two prominent names, Saul and Solomon. Jonathan, which of course is Saul's son and David's friend, very close friend. And Joab, David's captain of his army. We read about Abner and Asahel. Asahel was the fast runner. And Abner kills him by sticking the sword backward and jabbing it through him as he catches up. Shimei. And the sons of Goliath. You remember Shimei is the one that cursed David. When David was walking along and coming back to take the kingdom, Shimei was walking on a rise next to him, throwing stones at him and cursing David. And I think it was Joab, one of the mighty men said to David, let me go over and take his head off. I like that guy. Let me go over and take his head off. And David said, no, it's not a time to kill. I've become king over Israel. Shimei dies later, but anyways, he doesn't die at that point. And then the sons of Goliath, I like that story. Where is that? That's Again, time-wise, we won't be able to look at all this, but the sons of Goliath. It's on the right-hand column on one of these pages. I know he's there somewhere. There he is, chapter 21. The sons of Goliath. Did you know Goliath had four sons? That big giant, David killed him. He had four sons that later came to bother Israel. Chapter 21, verse 16, and Ishbibenoth, which was of the sons of the giant. All right, the sons of the giant. The end of verse 16, he thought to have David slain, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Verse 18, there came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Sibachai, the Hashemite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. So there were two of them. It says down at the end of verse 22, these four were born to the giant in Gath. So the first one was Ishbibenoth up there. The second was Saph in verse 18. And the fourth one, let's skip down verse 20. And there was yet a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature that had in every hand six-fingered. The six-fingered man, if you ever watched Princess Bride. And had on every hand six fingers, and on every foot six toes, 24 of number. He also was born of the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. So that's three sons of the giant. The third one is in verse 19. It's kind of tricky. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jearothagim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. Now, I don't want to lead your minds into the gutter, but this says it was the brother of Goliath, but verse number 22 tells us it was the son of Goliath. Now, this is one of those passages where Bible critics always say, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. There have been other times in the Bible where a man's mother was also his wife, and they had a child. And that's the way it appears to be here. Three of them are sons of the giant. This one, it says, is a brother of the giant, which means that Goliath and his mother produced an offspring. And that's not only his brother, but his son, because it says these four. So there's some pretty creepy stuff going on in the Bible. A lot of times critics of the Bible, you hear this all the time. Well, this happened, and that happened, and this happened. Well, just because the Bible tells us something happened doesn't mean God approved of it, or recommended it, or issued it. Even this thing, all these guys that had more than one wife in the Old Testament, God never commended that. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. David had more than one wife. Abraham had more than one wife. Solomon, we can't even count them all, had more than one wife. That's not saying, well, see, God did that. No, God didn't do that. Now, he permitted it as far as not killing people when they did it. But everything that happens in the Bible doesn't mean God issued it. And here's the giant that has a brother that's also his son. And the Bible doesn't go into the details about that. So the Shimei and the sons of Goliath, quickly. Michael and Mephibosheth. Michael, of course, that looks like a male name to you and I as Americans, but that is David's wife, the daughter of Saul. And Mephibosheth, that was the son of Jonathan. What a wonderful story about Mephibosheth and David taking him in and feeding him at the king's table. Absalom and Amnon, two of the sons of David, that both died as a result of God's punishment on David for his sin with Bathsheba. And Ahithophel and Amasa. Ahithophel, the great conspirator. The Bible uses that word for him. The only time it appears, conspirator. And Amasa, one of David's good leaders that was killed by Joab. So there are many stories going on in the book of 2 Samuel. But the most often mentioned name in 2 Samuel, of course, is David. So we're talking about it. It could be called the book of David. David's name appears 286 times in 2 Samuel, more than any other book. 1 Samuel is in second place with 276 times. So the book is the book about David. Now, it's not incorrectly titled 1 Samuel, because Samuel is the one that anointed Saul, 1 Samuel, and David, 2 Samuel. But David is the prominent figure. I put this just as a side note and a trivia question. David is also the most often mentioned name in the Bible. If you ever want to impress somebody with your Bible literacy, say, ask them, whose name is in the Bible more than any others? And most people are going to say, Jesus. That's the answer to every question. Anytime you're a Sunday school teacher, any question you ask your kids, the answer, they figure if they answer Jesus, they got a 90% chance of getting it right. And so they'll always say Jesus no matter what the question is. But it's not. David is the most often mentioned name in the Bible. His name appears 1,063 times, which is considerably more than the Lord Jesus' name appears, plus 74 times in the titles of Psalms. Half of the Psalms say a Psalm of David, a Psalm of David. That's not in the text, but right under the chapter heading. And in the concordance and in the Bible program I've got, they also include that, so I separated them. So that's a total of 1,137 times that David is mentioned in Scripture. Just for comparison, the name Jesus, there's the blank there, appears 982 times. Now, you understand, we're not saying that David's more important than Jesus. We're just saying that his name appears more than the Lord's name does. And then the name, what do you think the third most repeated name is in the Bible? What's this third guy that's 847 times? Somebody said? Paul? Judy? There's somebody? What are you saying? Moses, yes. Moses. All right, the name Jesus appears 982 times. The name Moses, 847 times. Again, Moses has an advantage because he started all the way back in the book of Exodus. So he got to be well known. So here we have the most common three names. David, Jesus, and Moses. I don't count God as a name. All right, God is in there over 3,500 times. So that obviously would be first place. But that's really not a name. That's God, Godhead. So if you want to count that, that would absolutely come in first. All right, the book of 2 Samuel records... And here's kind of, this isn't the overview, the outline, but I thought it was important to note also. The chapters 1 to 10 show the rise of David's kingdom. Chapters 1 to 10 are the rise in David's kingdom. And they're great chapters to read. And it's kind of surprising that as much as we know about David and think about David, and as much as the Lord says about David, there really are only 10 chapters in all the Bible that show his glorious kingdom. Because what happens in chapter 11 spoils everything. It really does. It ruins it. I used to think sometimes when I was trying to think of that chapter of David and Bathsheba, I said, is that 1 Samuel 11 or 2 Samuel 11? And finally I kicked myself and I said, don't do that to David. Don't put it all the way back at 1 Samuel 11 and make it start so early. No, it's 2. But 2 Samuel 11 is 10 chapters into his kingdom, and from that point on, the sin that beset the kingdom is in chapters 11 and 12. The sin that beset the kingdom. Now you'd say, wait a minute, preacher. It's not the sin that beset the kingdom, it's the sin that beset David. Yeah, but David was the king. And because of what he did, the rest of the kingdom suffers. And that's the third point there. The struggle to maintain the kingdom is in chapter 13 to 24. I thought about putting the third point, the decline of the kingdom or the fall of the kingdom, but it doesn't really fall and it doesn't really decline. And so the other word I came with was plateau. Because what happens in the first 10 chapters is that kingdom is becoming more prosperous. David is really rising. He's organizing the kingdom. He's getting scribes to record all of the things that are happening. He begins setting aside the funds and the materials to build the temple when his son Solomon, everything's going forward till chapter 11. And when chapter 11 happens, it just all comes to a standstill. It stops. And the rest of the book of 2 Samuel is the kingdom struggling. All the troubles and the trials and the Philistines coming back after him. And yes, they get victory over them, but that meteoric rise of the kingdom all levels out when David commits that sin. Of course, the great lesson for us in our homes, in our individual lives, is that when we allow a sin like David did to come into our life, it, it stops the incline. When we're working in our life to get closer and closer and closer to God, and that sin that so easily besets us comes in, it levels us out. It doesn't drop us into nothing. We don't fall on our face, but our relationship with God plateaus, and we struggle to maintain it when we don't deal with that sin. And so that's the lesson of 2 Samuel in the kingdom of David. Excuse me. Some key words and phrases in Samuel. And these again follow into the thought of what we're looking at in this book. The word king appears 247 times. So this is one of the key words in 2 Samuel. And of course, that is obvious because it's about king. You know what I thought is interesting? The word king appears in 1 Samuel 77 times. Now again, if you're like me and you like Bible numerology, 7 is God's number. Jehovah, Savior, Gabriel, Michael, all 7-letter things, you know, like that. 7 colors, 7 notes on the music scale, all that kind. 7 is just God's number. And so the word king appears in 1 Samuel 77 times as they begin the monarchy. And I just think that's, God smiling upon Israel, even in their rejection. But then in 2 Samuel, it's 247 times. So the kingdom really gets going. The phrase, the Ark of God, appears 11 times. The Ark of God, of course, is important in the life of the worship of the nation of Israel. The Ark never leveled mountains. All right, and I guess I'm getting into Indiana Jones. The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains. No, it doesn't. That's Hollywood stuff. Forget that. But it does talk about its presence. When the children of Israel went into battle, if they didn't have the presence of the ark, they got defeated. And it wasn't because the ark had any power to slay nations. It's because it was the presence of God among the people of God. And so the ark is mentioned in 2 Samuel and gives Israel victory 11 times. The phrase, before the Lord, appears 10 times. Now that doesn't seem like a lot of times, but it's more than it appears anywhere else. Before the Lord. The children of Israel appeared. David appeared before the Lord. The phrase, David inquired before the Lord, appears 4 times. David inquired before the Lord. 3 of those are in those first 10 chapters where David's kingdom is on that rise. Only 1 more time in chapter 21 is afterward, and that's not to make a statement of that, but just to show that David's inquiry of God was part of the rise of his kingdom. And then the phrase, the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went, appears twice. Only twice, both in chapter 8, but it's a great phrase. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. You remember what it said in 1 Samuel 16:13? And the Spirit of the Lord was on David from that day forward. You understand, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't work like it does in the New Testament. You and I today that are saved, we've got the permanent indwelling of the Spirit of God in us. In the Old Testament, you remember the story about Samson? Samson told Delilah, well, if you bind my hair with this or that, then I'll become as weak as another man. And when he stood up, he wist not that the Spirit was gone from him. In the Old Testament, they did not have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But David did. David is the exception to the Old Testament. He's a type of Christ. He's the exception. He had the Holy Spirit from the day he was anointed by Samuel till the very end of his life. That's why he prayed in Psalm 51. You remember after the sin with Bathsheba of 2 Samuel 11, David wrote Psalm 51. And he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David was worried about losing the Spirit of God. But the Bible tells us that he never did lose it. And the Bible tells us that the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. An overview of 2 Samuel. There's a lot of blanks here, and we've got about 5 minutes to get it. So let's try. An overview of 2 Samuel. Number 1, the patient years. Chapters 1 to 4. The patient years. What do you mean? That's the 7 years that he ruled in Hebron, where the other 11 tribes of Israel were trying to set up the sons of Saul as their king. Ish-bosheth, Remember some of those other guys? David was reigning in Hebron, but the rest of Israel said, no, we're not going to David. We're going to take some of Saul's sons and make them kings. And it was one flop after the other. But David, those were the patient years where David waited for all Israel to acknowledge him. He'd been anointed by Samuel to be king, but Israel would just slow on getting on board. All right, so those first four chapters are the patient years. Then chapters 5 to 9, and this is what we've talked about, the prosperous years. The prosperous years from chapters 5 to 9. These were the years of the rise of his kingdom. Those are the glory years. Chapters 5 to 9. We talk sometimes about churches and their glory years. And these were the glory years of the kingdom. We break that down. Chapter 5 was his political triumph. His political triumph. Chapter 5, where we read the first 5 verses, is when the rest of Israel finally comes and says to David, we are thy flesh and thy bone, reign over us. And politically, he unites the 12 tribes that he will hand over to Solomon when he dies. So it's a political triumph. Letter B is his spiritual triumphs, chapter 6 and 7. His spiritual triumphs. And chapter 6 is where we read 6 times about the Ark of God. It's mentioned again 11 times, but 6 times right there in chapter 6 as he brings the Ark of God in and is pleasing before God. In chapter 7, God makes the covenant with him and with his son Solomon that they will rule and reign. So that's his spiritual triumphs. And then chapters 8 and 9 are his military triumphs, where he fights battles against the Philistines and against the Syrians and against the other groups, and he has these great victories in leading Israel in their land and conquering their foes. The prosperous years. And then lastly, number 3, the perilous years. Now it's at the plateau. The glory years are done, the prosperous years, because of the sin. It begins with letter A, troubles with the skeptics, chapter 10. Troubles with the skeptics. And that chapter is all about David sending one of his men, David sending his servants to mourn Hanan when his father died, and Hanan thinks that David's men are there to spy out the land, and they mistreat him, they shave off their beards and send him back, humiliated back to David. So the skeptics begin to give David trouble. In chapter 10. Chapter 11, 12, letter B, troubles with sin. Again, chapter 11 is the main turning point of David's life. Sin ruins him. He'll still be a man after God's own heart, but the blemish that gets upon him after that, you know what happens. Nathan comes and tells him the story about the rich man stealing the poor man's only ewe lamb. David says that man shall restore sevenfold. And Nathan says, well, thou art the man. And after that, David's troubles really begin. It really snowballs one after the other. In fact, letter C, troubles with his sons. Chapters 13 to 19, troubles with his sons. His son Amnon forces his daughter Tamar, Amnon's half-sister. You read about the whole story. And because of that, Absalom gets so mad that he kills Amnon. All these things happen. They snowball in David's life. And again, all as a result of his sin in chapter 11. But there's troubles with his sons. And then lastly, letter D, troubles with Satan. The 4 sons of the giants come and fight against David and his men. Yes, they're victorious. But it's just not the same kingdom it used to be. David slew Goliath, but at this point, David's not up to it anymore. And so someone else has to do the work for David. And then Satan moves to chapter 24. The devil moves David to number the people. And Joab says, don't do this. Don't number the people of Israel. God has told you as a king never to number them. Don't trust in how big your army is. Trust in the Lord your God. But David does. And then a great plague comes upon the children of Israel and thousands die. David goes and sees the angel of the Lord at the threshing floor of Arauna. And all these things happen. So troubles with Satan. We get to 1 Kings next Wednesday. No, well, not next Wednesday, but a couple of weeks. And we're going to see David's death. So what a glorious life. David, the most often mentioned person in all the Bible. And yet just as human as real as you and I are. We see his great rise of his kingdom in the first 10 chapters. Then sin destroys everything. If it hurt someone like David, it would hurt someone like us. That's why the Bible tells us to keep our hearts pure, keep ourselves from sin. And David is a, sad to say, an example to us of the cost of besetting sin. The book of 2 Samuel. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed.